It's the Big Interview.
All right, boys, prepare to be dazzled.
Thinking big, living big, talking big with market strategists, money managers, economists, authors, and more.
This is big news. What's going on here? This is big news. We need coverage of this.
Long chats with big brains, meant to give you a better view of the big picture as money life goes literally.
Talking. Yes, we are. And today our guest for the big interview is Joe Keefe, the president and chief executive officer at Pax World. Pax World Management, they run the Pax World funds, which are, if you want to call them social investment funds or ESG, if you prefer, whatever it is, that's what they do. But it's paxworld.com. If you want to learn more about their way of investing for tomorrow, you can also follow them on Twitter where they're at Pax World. Joe Keefe, welcome back to Money Life.
Thank you for having me, Chuck.
Always great to have you on the show, even if we're living through market times that aren't quite so great. So we're certainly living through market times that have people nervous right now. Is nervousness the right reaction? Or the truth is, well, we knew that, you know, bull market couldn't go on forever. We knew that volatility wasn't gone forever. We knew that there would be some problems that would eventually come to roost. So the only thing we didn't know was when, but everything else is normal.
You know, I think that's actually about right. You know, volatility has been incredibly subdued for a long period of time. Yet at some level, I think all of us who are in the markets have to expect volatility to be sort of the price of admission. And it's going to come back. What's driving it of late is probably good news rather than bad news. It doesn't look like a bubble bursting. It looks like a strong economy kind of firing on all pistons, not only in the U.S., but in Europe and globally, and that naturally leads to some, you know, low unemployment, some wage growth, some concern about inflation. We'll see what the consumer price index says, but it looks like, you know, there's some anticipation of inflation and higher interest rates. That would be natural at this point in the cycle. I don't want to be completely sanguine about it because I do think there are some, you know, concerns on the horizon. But I think for the most part, this is a rather natural technical correction as opposed to something more deep-seated.
That said, Pax World, you know, you are a fund company that looks to do well while doing good, as it were. And I'm curious because, you know, we always talk about correlation between different types of investments. We always talk about, you know, if this is happening domestically, what's happening internationally, or if, you know, large cap's moving, what's happening with small cap or growth in value or whatever it might be. For you, how much do you have a situation where the kinds of social investments that you favor, which in many cases are big brand name companies that are in anybody else's funds, but you're buying them because they meet a social screen, how much, if any, does that change correlation? So is an investor safer, less safe, et cetera, when they are going ESG with some of their investments?
Well, I think in volatile markets like we've seen over the last week or two, Chuck, I think everything tends to be correlated, and everything tends to go down together, large, mid, small cap, value, growth, et cetera. And I think that's basically what we've seen over the last few weeks. Now, that said, over the longer term, we strongly believe that companies that have better environmental and social and governance practices, companies that are better positioned for the inevitable transition to a more sustainable global economy, companies that are attendant to their employees, companies that are attendant to their climate footprint, companies that are embracing gender diversity and what have you, are just better positioned for long-term growth and probably carry less long-term risk than their less enlightened peers. So we believe that sustainability or environmental, social, and governance factors, ESG, do play out over the longer run. And companies with better practices in that regard are sort of an indicia of or a proxy for just better management. And over time, those companies are going to be better investments. And over time, there will be sort of an arbitrage opportunity, if you will, by investing in companies that are better when it comes to a lot of these ESG issues. And we think that the data, by the way, is supportive of that. And there have been a lot of reports by a lot of mainstream investment shops from Morgan Stanley to Morningstar and so forth, underscoring that indeed is probably the case.
from the perspective of your outlook, you know, there was a lot of talk a little bit more than a year ago about how social investing would get a real plus if we had a Democrat in the White House, because Hillary Clinton was very much committed to alternative energy and more. We didn't necessarily see that with Donald Trump. And of course, he came out talking about coal and a variety of other sorts of things that he wanted to pursue. He has gone a long way to try to take credit for the market when the market was doing well in the first year of his presidency, which is dumb because most people, and I would say that about any president who had ever claimed any sort of impact, because most people don't believe that politics has much impact. And of course, the flip side of claiming credit when it's good is that you get the blame when things go bad. But I'm curious, because he was expected to be somewhat bad news on the social investing side, what has borne out since he became president? In other words, you know, just as the rest of the market kind of goes, the president can only impact the market so much. Is that what you found as well? Or has he been kind of bad news for the social investment scene?
Well, you know, paradoxically, and there have been several pieces written about this and so forth over the last, say, 6 months, there's been sort of a Trump bump for the sustainable investing industry. That is to say, a lot of folks who care about issues like climate change, for example, or gender equality, issues where they perceive the president not to be really on their side or advancing the agenda, have decided to sort of vote with their feet. And although they were not successful at the polls, they've decided to put their money to work. And we've seen a great heightening of interest in sustainable investing because people believe that on issues like climate change, on issues like gender equality and gender diversity, they can have an impact. They can invest in companies that are part of the solution rather than part of the problem. They can perhaps affect social change through the markets rather than through government. And in fact, I think one of the things that's really fueling the growth of sustainable investing, Chuck, is these long-term secular trends that include really a changed view of the corporation, if you will. You know, instead of Milton Friedman's old dictum that the only duty of a corporation is to make a profit, there's a new, more enhanced, more expansive vision of the corporation that's settling in, where a company's duty is not only to make a profit for its shareholders, but to treat its employees well, to embrace gender diversity, to be a good citizen when it comes to greenhouse gas emissions and climate and so forth. So there are broader expectations by investors, by consumers, and so forth in companies. And indeed, look at when Donald Trump pulled out of the Paris Climate Change Accord, what did you see the very next day? You saw business leaders from Michael Bloomberg to Hank Paulson, the former Treasury Secretary, and others signing, you know, an editorial on the New York Times, Wall Street Journal editorial pages saying, we're not pulling out, business isn't pulling out, capital markets aren't pulling out, we're going to be part of the solution on climate change. So in some ways, Trump has sidelined the U.S. government as a player in some of these issues by sitting them out. And I think the markets are saying, well, we'll handle these ourselves.
Getting back to market conditions as you see them right now, obviously, social investors, by their very nature, tend to be thinking big picture, long term. So I would assume you see very little movement in your funds, not too many people selling out when the market gets a little queasy. But I am curious, how are you talking to your shareholders now in terms of setting expectations for what this market's going to look like now that volatility has come back into play?
Well, it's interesting. I don't think in the last week we have said much different, Chuck, other than I think most of the people here, our portfolio managers, our analysts, and so forth, basically are in agreement with my earlier statement that this is sort of a short-term technical correction. You know, I think we understand that there's sort of a widespread conviction now, not only in the U.S., but globally, that assets are somewhat overpriced, and that therefore a correction is in order. That doesn't, again, necessarily mean there's a bubble that has burst or is about to burst. So we're careful. Now, there are a few danger signs on the horizon. One of them, I think, is deficits. You know, we're spending a lot of money, the tax cut bill, the spending bill that was just passed, the budget is not a healthy one from the point of view of long-term growth. In fact, it may be overstimulating the economy right now. This economy was one that was not in need of stimulus, whether it was from a tax package or additional spending or anything else. It was doing pretty fine. And so I'm a little worried about that and the long-term effect of that. And, of course, I think a lot of people are a little bit worried that, again, we're not making the investments that need to be made in infrastructure, in education, in artificial intelligence, some of the things that are going to drive the next economy. And that, again, the federal government in particular is sort of on the sideline on some of these issues. And while we're, you know, the Fed has been sort of directing monetary policy, we haven't really had a real effective fiscal policy, and it may be getting worse. So I think there are danger signs on the horizon, but again, fundamentals are quite strong. Earnings are good. Right now I think too much trepidation and fear is probably not the right answer.
Well, my audience will be happy about that. I don't think they're too trepidatious. They're a little bit fearful, and they kind of hate seeing their portfolio balances go down. But the answer to that is don't watch so much and listen to good folks talking about the right way to approach it the long way. Joe Keefe, thanks so much because you've got that long view for us. We'll look forward to chatting with you again.
Always a pleasure, Chuck. Take care.
Joe Keefe is the president and chief executive officer of the Pax World Funds. You can learn more about Pax World at PaxWorld.com, on Twitter at Pax World, and of course, it's Pax World Management. We just hit the halfway pole on today's edition of Money Life, but there's a lot more to go. A little bit later, you'll be hearing from Jim Lowell from the Fidelity Investor in the Market Call. So stay tuned. This is Money Life.